You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The debate around trial of armed police patrols has raged on since it was announced 3 weeks ago. The patrols will be rolled out in Monaco, Waikato and Canterbury and will involve heavily armed, specially trained units roaming the streets in vehicles. I spoke with senior lecturer at AUT, John Buttle, about the patrols, first asking him if he felt they were justified.
Well, the justification for any ramp-up of arming the police tends to be around a thing that's called incident-driven. That's the way they describe it. So what will happen is an incident will come along where they feel that they have a certain level of social capital, and then they'll say, well, we're going to introduce this weapon or that weapon. And the idea, of course, is to do this without causing too much disruption to their levels of popularity within the populace. The problem with that approach is it's not an evidence-based approach, and it tends to just come from the police at specific times. So if you sit back and you look at the justifications given for this, it's one, officer safety. Here, what they're doing is they're playing on the idea that police officers, policing is a very dangerous occupation. Wow. Wow. Here's the problem with that. So if you look at the last 128 years, say between 2018 all the way back to 1890, yeah? How many police officers do you think died from firearms in that time?
I'm sure it's pretty small in New Zealand.
Pretty small, yeah, but a lot of people would think it was large. So that's something like there was 22 firearms.
22 in that whole time.
So concerns about officers being shot with firearms are relatively low. And if you turn around and you look at if you look at that same period of time and think about, well, what about other levels of violence where officers were killed? It goes up to something like 32 in that period of time. There's not much.
Yeah.
If you measure the number of people that have been police officers in 2018 that were injured, yeah, they were victims of violence and they were injured, and you turn around and you compare that with the number of times, number of call-outs that were attended, because that's the way you'd have to put it, you know, the number of contacts people have with the police, or the police have with people. Then out of 10,000, we're talking about 0.008%. That's not even one person out of that. So, you know, granted, obviously, there are more contacts than just 100,000. But that's not a lot.
The other justification seems to kind of be, like you were talking about, the event.
Yeah.
Which,
so if we go to this idea of event-driven, because they've been trying constantly.
Has this been something we've...
Now it's changed.
We've seen under this police commissioner, Mike Bush. Has he been kind of pushing for this in his...
It's more the police association. And the police association has been doing it for the last 20 years almost, it seems to me. They're always calling for it. So, okay, if you go back, 30 years, you have a police officer walking around with a tunic and a small baton that you can't see. Yeah. Now they're wearing flak jackets. It's then moved on, of course, and you have yourself a pepper spray now to stop people. That was all brought in because of concerns of officer safety. Then you have tasers. Tasers were first brought in with the idea of protecting the public. Yeah, the idea would be that the tasers would be there and it would be a response that is used before police officers would use the firearms. So they're only to be used with firearms officers. 3 years after it was actually put in, that was rolled out to everyone. So everyone's got a taser now, regardless of whether that's the case. So that was obviously rubbish. Previous one was they took on a Norwegian model where they put a gun in the back of every car. So every police car has now got a little box of a gun, and you're supposed to radio in and say, hey, listen, we've got a situation here. Do we have authorization to get the gun out? Of course, what is considered to be a reason to get the gun out tends to change quite a bit. On top of that, our special arms, firearms unit has tended to be deployed a lot more over the last few years. Now, you've got to understand, this is all happening against a reduction in crime.
Yeah.
This has been going on since the 1990s. So we're not, New Zealand's not getting any more dangerous, but something occurred at the beginning of the year. A white supremacist went into mosques and killed people. So now you've got an incident, and this seemingly has come out of nowhere, but you have a situation where the police are now trying to play off of that incident, which seems to be what they do quite a lot. They're playing off that incident, but with no real... it's got no real link to terrorism in many ways, which is quite concerning, because, one... in regards to the police actually protecting us, we phone the police after the incident has occurred.
Mm.
They don't protect you. They can't protect you. It's ridiculous. It's a stupid idea. I have never in my young life as a young man been walking down the road, and when that drunk guy steps out and wants to have a go, never as a police officer jumped in front of him and stopped him. It's always had to be me running away. You know what I mean? So, you know, in that way, if there's another terrorist incident, they won't be there to stop it. They can't. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to expect that of them as well. However, here's the point. The terrorist incident was a white supremacist walking into the place of worship of people with brown skin. The police reaction to this is to arm their officers more and patrol areas where there are people with brown skin.
Mm. And how do you think these squads, what do you think they'll do for the kind of public perception of the police?
Well, one of the reasons I think while they're putting this through now is so that they can spin it that this is a way of protecting people.
Do you think people are buying that?
I don't buy it, but then again, I know better. Mm. I think there's a lot of people that won't buy it. I think there's a lot of people will be very concerned about police being harmed. But there's also people, I suspect, out there that will be quite happy for that to occur, largely because they don't bump into the police that much.
Mm.
And if they don't bump into the police that much, it doesn't affect them. The problem is... Well, on one level as well, even if you got to the stage where people were, where these cars are driving around, you'd look at these cars. They're quite ominous-looking vehicles, I have to say. You look at them and you might think, ooh, that's a bit...
scary.
Scary or whatever. But after a while, people will get used to them. The problem will occur for the police's reputation is when the inevitable mistakes occur. And when the inevitable victims are nearly always Maori or marginalised people, that's when the problem will occur. When at some stage they start shooting or they make a mistake and they shoot someone.
When things do go wrong,
yeah.
And people are sort of invariably killed,
yeah.
Do police in New Zealand have much of a procedure around kind of some reflection on that and how we can then change it, or is it just trying to reduce the damage that they can do at that point?
Policing is always about image. And it's always about image for one reason, and the reason is basically that policing becomes very, very hard if you have a poor image.
Mm.
Because people don't report crimes to you, and they don't do as you say. You know what I mean? But if you have people that generally respect the police, then obviously they will report crimes and they will do as they say. So there, it's always about image. And one of the things that you'll find in and around police accountability, when the police tend to do something wrong, they are a lot less likely to go to prison than you and I are. There's no doubt about that. In fact, actually, if I look at the IPCC, I actually, off my can't remember when a police officer has actually shot someone and gone to prison. They need to deal with the racism that's in there as well. Before you, before you even start thinking about stuff like this, you need to deal with this bias. It's not unconscious. It's quite conscious. Mm. Because they consciously sat down for days and thought about putting this together. Where should we do it? Oh, we'll do it in South Auckland. Yet again, special units can be good at some stages because you've got people that are trained to deal with that. So you've got people that are trained to deal with firearms rather than having a whole load of cops who are in the back of, got a gun in the back of their car who are poorly trained. However, they haven't removed that, those guns. I haven't heard any talk about removing those guns. They're keeping those, it would seem. Specialised units can be good in that way, but they can be bad in other ways. Now, there was a specialised unit down in South Auckland around about 2004. It was the Emergency Response Group, yeah? The Emergency Response Group was there to deal only with violent situations or perceived violent situations. They were wrapped up in about 2004, and they were wrapped up because a senior sergeant was caught beating a guy in basically a petrol station. Later on, when people looked into it, they found that there were a lot of photographs around the place, and there were photographs of kids with sacks over their heads with a sign saying, "I'm the property of Senior Sergeant so-and-so." Yeah, I kid you not. So they were degrading people and being quite nasty about it. That's the problem. The average police officer, if they go out, they're going to deal with normal people and they're going to deal with lots of different situations. And the way that you do good policing is by talking to people. If you have a special response unit where people are just trained to do this one thing, that's all they know how to do. Mm. So any other interactions, it's the hammer. Mm-hmm. Every problem they see is going to be a nail. And that's the problem that I have with this, And plus the culture tends to curdle when you've got people that are in elite, and these people will see themselves as elite.
Mm.
Yeah. When you've got elite people towering over us normal people, there tends to be an us and them thing. The us and them thing is always in the police, but the us and them thing between these elite units is far wider. And it worries me that they will forget the humanity.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.